On this episode of The Redacted, we're going to be doing something a little different. We're dipping our toe into the, I guess you'd call it the paranormal world. And there's a lot of these stories out there, and I'm as big of a skeptic as the next. But as you'll hear, it's one of those things, like a lot of things in life, like car accidents or cancer or a robbery. It's one of those things that there's a pattern. And every time it happens to someone, they always say, I never thought it would happen to me, or I didn't believe it until it happened to me. And that's something very interesting to think about, and it's worth exploring. You could also look at this from a different perspective. And, you know, you have to get your house in order, your spirituality in order, your mental health in order, your depression in order. Stephen King had a really great quote about, you know, monsters and ghosts. And he said, monsters are real. And ghosts are real too. They live inside us, and sometimes they win. So with that, enjoy this episode and this interview. It's going to be a two-parter, and we're going to have the next part released a week from this episode. Enjoy. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to the Redacted Podcast. My name is Matt Bender, and we have a little bit of a different show today than our usual, but it's definitely something that's super interesting, and one of those things that it's understandable that somebody wouldn't want to talk about necessarily. So we have our guest on. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And what you had was, I guess you'd call it a nefarious haunting or some kind of a spiritual attack on your family.
Absolutely. It was. It encompassed our whole entire family, but it was really target was my son because of his psychic abilities.
Okay. And so the thing about stuff like this, and I've always been so curious, and I guess I've been fortunate enough to have not had any of these kind of experiences, but people can be skeptical on these stories. Do you kind of find that?
They're very skeptical, and they want to poke at it and make fun of it until it slaps them in the face like it did us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can. It's one of those things. I guess seeing is believing. And you can't force anyone to kind of understand that until it happens to them. But when it does, and, you know, all the things I've seen, it's fucking terrifying, I'm sure.
Oh yes, it is. You will go to sleep, and some days you won't sleep, and other days you will go to sleep with that holy water, praying. Yes, my family, we've experienced all of it.
And the nature of that skepticism that you've experienced, and I'm sure a lot of others have, does in a way keep people from sharing their story, because it's like, Oh, you're kooky. Oh, that was all in your imagination. That was all, you know, and people don't want to hear that. So they just don't share sometimes, it seems.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, why don't you start us at the beginning of where, I guess, you first noticed or started having experiences, or other people in your family started to?
Well, like I said, it's kind of a double story into one. Our middle son, Tyler, he has a very old soul, always just very helpful. And he could always just look at him and people were always automatically drawn to him. It was not that my other kids weren't special or anything like that, but there was always something different about Tyler. Always has been. When he was probably about 3 years old, I've always been into genealogy. And I had some pictures of my grandfather who's passed for, I don't know, 25 plus years. And my grandfather used to run an old Skelly station. And I had the picture out just because I was putting a new photo album together. And again, Tyler had no idea who he was or anything. And he went up to the picture, and I remember him saying, and again, I'm paraphrasing because it's been a while, and at the time, like he was three, he said that he'd seen him before. And I'm like, what do you mean you've seen him before? And he said, oh, he comes in my room and plays with me. And then he just ran off.
Wow. That's
that was the first
that's
time.
That's crazy.
I go, oh, wow. And they always say, you know, the younger they are, they're more open and in tune with that type of event.
Yeah, yeah.
My grandfather, like I said, he worked in a Skelly station, so he always wore, I always call him the bibby coveralls. And after that, that is all Tyler would wear. He had to wear his bibby coveralls, and that's all my grandfather wore. And we would always hear him in his room. He was one of those kids that you couldn't buy enough playsets. I mean, he would have playset villages. He would line them up, and he would play for hours with those, and you could hear him talking, but nothing was ever threatening, it sounded like. Where my other son, he wouldn't play with a playset for nothing. He was bored within 5 minutes. That's kind of how we first knew about his abilities, but we never really...
You just saw something was different.
Yeah, I mean, we were just like, okay, that's Tyler. That's just Tyler. Where it really took a turn was when my husband had rotator cuff surgery, which can be a really tough surgery. He had been out of work because of the surgery, and they had been giving him Vicodins. Well, he had tapped out, and we ended up having to go to Colorado for wrestling because we travel a lot for wrestling. We have for years. And I'm not gonna lie, he took some medicinal ointment, and that was how my husband was able to get off the Vicodin. Praise God on that one. It does have a good medicinal effect there. And when we came back home from the trip, Mike was scheduled to go back to work. He works at an automotive plant, and having seniority, you go out on medical, you go back to your job. Well, he went back to his job, and they gave his job to somebody else. This is a man who has 20 years in. He should be able to go back to his job.
Yeah.
Long
that's,
story.
That's terrible.
They put him back on the line where he had worked so many years to get the job he had. They gave it one of the, they call it committee people. They gave it to one of their buddies. So my husband ended up having to go back on the line. And when he did that, it really put him in a dark phase. He was depressed. He was fighting, trying to get out. Why did, you know, my job screw me? Excuse me for saying it that way. He was missing work. I mean, he just took a dive into depression land, and it was dark. That is when he hit that dark depression, that's when things really took a really bad turn. Tyler was always able to sleep in his room. Again, he was like five, going on 6 years old. He would sleep in his room. When Mike hit this depression, all of a sudden he, every night was in our room. And again, you know, they're 5, 6 years old. Okay, that's fine. No big deal. You know, he'd come in the middle of the night while we're asleep. So it really didn't bother us. We didn't really think anything of it. It wasn't until probably a couple months of him coming in the middle of the night. I remember my husband was working, we call it Super Sundays, which is overtime. And I woke up to a loud clunking sound in my dryer. And I thought my dryer had broken. It ended up being my husband's work coveralls. And I'm like, okay, why is it 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning? And he usually gets up about 4:30 because he worked day shift. I was like, why did he turn those on? Maybe he washed them in the middle of the night and he woke up, turned it on, whatever. I turned it off. I went back to bed. About 30 minutes later, I wake up to the clunking sound again. I go and turn it off again. I end up falling back to sleep. Mike messages me, I don't know, about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. Again, it's Sunday. Well, I reply back to him, hey, why did you turn on the dryer at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning? And he's like, I didn't. I thought that was you. I'm like, no, I didn't turn the dryer on. So he's like, well, maybe the boys did. Nope, did not. They did not turn it on. Kind of just ignored it, really, because
And it
again, I
was
had
actually the dryer. It wasn't just like
it
a sound that sounded like the
was
dryer.
oh no, the dryer was full on going. In fact, when Mike woke up, his coveralls were warm for him, so he thought I was being nice and turned it on for him. Now,
Oh, okay.
it turned on by itself, and it was 3 times it did it. 3 times I had to turn it off. And Tyler was in our room at this time. So that was that weekend. Then little stuff around our house would go missing. Keys, one day I couldn't find my keys. I found them in the refrigerator. Just little stuff constantly being like hidden from us, almost like a little kid hiding your stuff, like playing pranks. There was that aspect.
Yeah, and probably at the time didn't seem like anything. I mean,
No, and when we're both, I
this
mean,
is only in hindsight this
yes, I
starts
mean,
to
we're living,
connect.
absolutely, we're living life. So we both work, we have multiple kids, we travel for wrestling. My daughter had, I think she was at the time 2. I just started her in a dance. We had a lot of things going on. And actually, I think my dad had just been diagnosed with cancer at that time. So I didn't give any time to really sit down, like, oh, wow, Julie, something's going on in your house. Red flags. I didn't really take that time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you had a lot going on, and the stories I've seen too, different TV shows and stuff like that before, it always seems to kind of occur when people are having maybe a tumultuous or chaotic or some kind of a change in life.
Yes, it's yes, absolutely. Yes. So you don't have time to focus on it. So when you don't
Exactly.
focus on it, it tends to grow. And that's what we learned.
Okay, yeah, that
So
so paying
from there,
attention to it, yeah, the exactly, that makes sense.
we had other times to where my husband hung out a lot in the garage. He would just fixing stuff. That was just, we have a 3-car garage, and so that's his man ha hideout. He has this big boom box he's had since like the 90s. It's old, but it's his favorite and he loves it. And it's so durable. It would turn on in the middle of the night. It would turn on during daytime, just out of nowhere, just turn on. Just turn on. One time it did turn on in the middle of the night, like full blast. He was working what we called, it's an odd shift. We call it C crew. It's Friday, Saturday, day, Sunday, Monday nights. And it turned on in the middle of the night and he was at work. Well, I went down to the garage to turn it off and it was not plugged in.
Whoa.
Yes.
And
So
there was no batteries or anything?
batteries, no. I mean, this thing is from the 90s. The batteries in it are like the like acid coming out. Yeah.
So,
If we're on going with it, there is no possible way.
yeah. So between the dryer incident and the stuff missing and then this thing turning on, I mean, what kind of time frame is this? Was within months
This is
or?
all within like a 2, 3 month time span, and then the music that was playing was AC/DC, Highway to Hell.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not.
Was it
No.
on the radio or was it like a
Yes. It was on the radio.
Oh my God. So,
that
had to raise, that had to send a chill up your spine when you saw the thing wasn't plugged in.
Being a cradle Catholic I am, I rebuked it in the name of Jesus and claimed the blood right there. And really? I ran upstairs.
Yeah, everything else probably seemed pretty innocuous to that point. But when you have a device turn on that isn't even plugged in, that's oof.
That was the big red flag. And then it was a couple of weeks later, like I said, Tyler was constantly coming in our room every night, which was fine. It was fine. We started hearing him talk a lot, and it was like he had a pretend friend. Now, again, he's my middle child. I've already had my oldest one never had a pretend friend, but each kid is different to each. So I was like, okay, so he's got a pretend friend. That's fine. He would sit in his room with his Superman playhouse, his Ninja Turtle. I mean, he had like six of them lined up, his little playhouse city. And I could hear him talking, just talking. So I just thought he had a pretend friend. Didn't think really, didn't give any credit to it, nothing like that.
Hang tight. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Multispective is a podcast where we interview individuals around the world with unique stories and experiences. Guests share in detail some of the traumas they faced.
You know, because I feel in some ways so disgusting and broken on the inside, you know, I'm going to work on my outside and that's going to make me feel better.
Mental health issues they've lived with.
I was very hyper, like I felt good. That's one thing of mania, like you feel good.
Decisions they've made.
My life changed drastically in that moment. That one moment, I can't even begin to describe to people how hard, how good, how scary, how disturbing and emotional that moment was, smoking crack.
And more importantly, how they found strength, resilience, and healing.
Just being able to think and have conversations and walk places, that really helped me, you know, accelerate the process of, you know, rebuilding burnt bridges.
Tune in, subscribe, rate and review Multispective on www.multispective.org or your preferred podcasting app. You can also find us on any of the social media platforms that you use. Your feedback is always welcome. Lots of love, Multispective.
Yeah, and that seems pretty normal. I mean, kids do that.
Absolutely. Although my other didn't, I just thought, okay, this is Tyler.
Yeah.
My little quirky one. That's fine.
Exactly.
My husband, it was a few days later after the talking really started. My husband was working nights, so I had to get up early for work, take the kids to school. So I closed my bedroom door so my husband could sleep. I was in the hall bathroom getting ready, and Tyler came up to me and he's like, "Mommy, guess what?" And I was like, "What?" I mean, I can remember it. To this day, it's so vivid. He's like, "Jimmy and Charlie want me to be like them." I was like, "Well, who's Jimmy and Charlie, Ty?" We called him Ty. "Who is he, Ty? And he's like, "They're my friends that come play with me." I was like, "Well, that's awful nice of them. What do they want you to be, Tyler?" "They want me to be a ghost."
Oh, shit.
Just ran the fuck off. And I'm sitting there like with a curler iron in my hair, like, what the fuck just happened?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's creepy.
Yes. So that's like, I was like, okay, we got to do something. That's when I stopped in my tracks right there. So we would watch a few different ghost shows. My husband and I were into them. Dead Files was our favorite we would watch because it kind of did investigation, but yet it touched on the paranormal. So I kind of started contacting a few ghost shows, see if they would help. I never got feedback from nobody, nothing. So I remember watching Dead Files, and there was a similar situation, and they brought in like a psychic medium. So I'm like, okay, I need to find a psychic medium. I start looking, and we live in the Kansas City type area, and I start looking around, and they want about $500 or $600. I can't afford it. I mean, we couldn't afford it to do that.
And that's for someone to basically
come to my house,
a medium, come to your house and figure out what's going on.
Yes.
Okay.
After Tyler came to tell me about Jimmy and Charlie, and like I said, he had names for these two friends of his, Jimmy and Charlie. After Tyler had them, came and talked to me about him, he was more open about it and would tell me little stuff. All of a sudden, he started telling me little stories about Jimmy and Charlie. He told us about how his dad had anger issues, and he started telling us stories about Jimmy and Charlie's life on the farm. It was too detailed for a six-year-old to know.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that, and it's like, you can't feed a kid that young that kind of information.
No.
And to them, him, that it doesn't seem weird, I guess. To us, it seems strange, but to him, he's just like, oh yeah, they grew up on a farm and they had a dad with anger. Like that's, yeah.
So again, like I told you earlier, I love genealogy. I love history. My husband and I would love to go do metal detecting. So we live in the country. Actually, it's Kearney, Missouri, where Jesse James' house is, boy home. He's buried here, all that. It's very old land. Although this town has been renamed, there's a lot of old history where we're at. So my husband and I used to do, and we still do time to time when we get it, is we do metal detecting. It's just our little date day. So I was familiar with, when we do metal detecting, I would pull up old plat maps. And I like to see where old houses were, because then that would tell us where we would do our metal detecting at. So while Tyler was continuing to tell us details of Jimmy and Charlie, I decided to pull the plat maps up from our house. And I started to do the history of our house. And although we don't have like all sorts of land or anything like that, back in the day, it was very much cattle area. Again, Jesse James and his family, actually, they lived, I think, less than half a mile from our house.
Oh, so, wow. That's kind of cool.
So you just, absolutely. So you just never know what happened. So I started pulling the old plat maps up, and I figured out that I remember I work at an automotive plant too, and I work in the offices, and we were redoing the offices. So everybody was like sitting in the middle, and I got on my computer and I pulled the old plat map of 1879. And there was a family that lived where our house was with the last name Johnson, and they had like five kids, and two of their kids' name was Charles and Jimmy.
Oh shit.
And that's literally what I said at work. I said, holy shit.
Yeah.
And I remember the guy across from me, John, and he's like, Julie, what's wrong? And I was like, I remember I was just like dead. And he's like, he came over to my computer and he's like, oh, you're doing old map searches. Well, I hadn't told anybody what had happened or what was going on at our house. And I ended up telling John about it. And he's like, you mean to tell me your son knows the names of this? I said, yeah, he called him Jimmy and Charlie and said, and I was like, look, 1879, they lived where our house stands right now. It's like, how the fuck is that possible? How could a six-year-old know that shit?
Jeez.
That's what you know. He's got abilities. There's more to this.
In that moment, were you kind of terrified or fascinated? I mean, what was that emotion that you had?
I was more about protecting my child.
So you were scared for your child now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I left work right away and I went home, and I remember walking through my house, and we didn't have, and again, we're Christian. I mean, I'm cradle Catholic. We had not one cross in our house. We had nothing that said, hi, we believe in Jesus. It wasn't anything done on purpose. It was just, we moved in our house. I started having babies one after another and busy with life. I never really decorated my house. We were in survival mode more so. And so that's when I was like, okay, we need to get some Christian stuff in our house. I went to Savers and I bought all sorts of crosses and I put a cross in every single room. And then I put pictures, I put a plaque of St. Jude in Tyler's room because St. Jude is supposed to be for in time of need or you needing help. And my son, Ty Ty, he was, and he still is, he's a little smaller. He's not tall by any means. He's always been a little guy, very, very short, very just, he's like a perfect little wrestler. He's a short little guy. And his dresser was super tall and he could never reach the top two drawers. He always had the little like a step stool to get to him. And I remember I put the picture of St. Jude on his dresser. And then I had a candle that had been blessed by the church and I had it in his room. So that was set in his room. And then, like I said, every other room in the house, I had him set up. My oldest son's room was downstairs, the very downstairs. Cause I have like a split level house. He was in California at a wrestling camp, but I still put some type of candle down in his room and I put a cross in his room. Well, I called my husband and I told my husband what was going on, what I found, the plat maps. And then he's like, well, what do we need to do? I said, we need to bring somebody over here to bless this house and bless it immediately. And then we need to bring a medium in or figure something out. And at this time, Mike is still dealing with his depression. So I'm fighting the battle of trying to get my husband out of depression. He was going through stuff with the work thing, taking his job. He was dealing with stuff with his family. They're not the best supportive family. Then I had dealing with my son of whether these ghosts or these entities or whoever he's seeing are wanting to make him a ghost. And his room was on the third level. His room is. And all I can thinking is him jumping out the window or I didn't know. Just that's what I kept thinking because he was obsessed with Superman, too. So I was hoping to think he's Superman and he could fly. Again, my mind's just going, you just don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's got to be horrifying because, absolutely. And I mean, is he understanding any of this yet? Or
no.
Is this just maybe kind of fun to him or just some friends? He doesn't quite get it.
He doesn't know. And I didn't want to stifle it either.
Yeah.
But yet I want to embrace it.
Yeah.
I just let him come to me on it.
Well, and you didn't want to scare him either.
No.
Yeah.
No, I did not. So I started, like I said, I started doing some research to bring mediums in. They wanted anywhere at the cheap range was 500 all the way up to a couple thousand. And we just couldn't afford it at the time. We just couldn't afford that. So my husband's like, call my school, my church. And he went to a Methodist church. So I call them and I tell them what's going on. And they're like, well, we won't come to your house, but you could come over here and we'll pray for you. I'm like, okay, that does me no good. I need you at my house. They wouldn't do that. So then I call my husband, tell him that. Well, then that made him even more angry that his church that he had gone to since he was a baby and baptized wouldn't even come to help. So I'm Catholic, but I hadn't been a good Catholic and been practicing. Let's just say that.
Yeah. And it's hard to be a good Catholic.
Yeah. Right. And then I hadn't got the kids baptized. We're just living life and surviving at that mode. So I told Mike, I was like, I'm calling the Catholic church. And so I called the one in Kearney. And I remember the secretary, she was like, well, what do you want to talk to the priest about? And it's like, okay, what do I tell her? If I tell her the truth, she could actually think I'm nuts. What do I have to lose at this point? So I told the secretary, I was like, well, I'd like to talk to the priest because I think my house is haunted. I think there's ghosts in my house that are trying to kill my son. I remember saying that.
Yeah, that's a weird sentence to get out.
Yeah. And the lady's like, oh, just one moment, please.
Yeah, no big deal. Let me put you through to that department.
Yeah. So the priest and Father Al, he was wonderful. He was like a gift of God. And I tell him everything that was going on. I tell him my husband's depression. I tell him what Tyler's seeing. I tell him how I've been a bad Catholic, you know, the whole, I was such a bad Catholic. I even got married in Vegas. You know, I didn't do it right, you know, everything. I was like, but I promise to do better now. Can you please come clear my house? And he said, I'll be there tonight at 7 p.m. And I'm like, holy
wow.
Shit.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, the other place where my husband been his whole life won't even give us the time of day. Well, this guy's never met us and he's going to come to our house at 7 p.m.
It okay. had to be a huge relief just to hear that.
Just to do, you know, yes.
Like, okay, now we got somebody else that's not only believing me, but could yes. possibly help us.
Absolutely. So my mom is like the holier than thou. I always kind of put my mom in that pedestal. So I tell my mom about it and my mom's like, I'll come over as well. And she had holy water that had been blessed from Jerusalem. So she came over too. She was sitting, like I said, we have a split level, multiple level house. She was sitting in the kitchen, which was upstairs. Father Al comes to the door. And I remember when he came to the door, he had this smile on his face, but he kept looking around. And it was kind of weird the way he was looking around. He wasn't even in our house yet. But we let him in and he went into our living room. My mom remained upstairs. She can't walk real good, so she just stayed upstairs. Mike and I were downstairs with Father Al. And we kind of just told him the story, Mike's depression, what Tyler's been seeing. We didn't know what was going on. Well, he showed us that he had brought some holy water too that had been blessed, and kind of find out it had been blessed where my mom's water was too.
Oh, well, wow. In Jerusalem?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, then my mom says, Julie, come here. And I'm like, Mom, not now. Hello. Father Al's here. Try to get my house cleared. And she's like, Julie, now, which is not like my mom at all. So I'm like, okay, excuse me. Mike stayed downstairs in the living room with Father Al. I go upstairs to my mom, like, Mom, what the fuck? And she's like, did you not hear that? I'm like, no. And she said, something's going on in Tyler's room. So my mom walks with me. We go to Tyler's room. And if you remember me saying, his dresser is tall. This kid is short. He hasn't been on a he just hit the growth scale and he's 14, if that tells you anything.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, just to back up, are the kids home?
Jordan is in California wrestling. Yeah.
So Tyler's home.
Tyler was not home at the first meeting. We had him go over to a friend's house while Father Al came over, and our daughter was at a friend's house too. Again, she was like 2 years old, so she's really clueless to all that. We hear something, so I walk towards Tyler's room, which is very long hallway, and the picture of St. Jude had been knocked down, and the candle I had lit on the dresser was in the hallway.
Oh, geez.
And that all happened when Father Al came in our house.
So yes. Something and once again, just watching stories, it's like whatever entity or spiritual thing is going on when, you know, you bring a priest over, when you start stepping it up, it almost seems like they start stepping it up.
Absolutely. And I think, yes, that's
so fascinating. It's like that there's a pattern to it. I mean,
yes,
there's always a pattern to these stories. And I don't think we've completely figured it out. I don't think we know much about it at all, but there always seems to be that element of like, okay, you want war? I got war for you.
Uh-huh. Yes. And they were ready to take it all on.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, I cleaned up the candle. There's wax. There's a wax trail all the way from one end of his room until the hallway. The St. Jude picture knocked down. I put that back up. My mom stayed in the room, and I think she was doing some prayers. She had her rosary with her. I went back down there with Father Al and my husband, and I didn't say anything to Father Al about it. I just kind of listened. And we just kind of gave him our life story. Then he went around each room and he blessed each room. And then he did a prayer for each of us. And then invited us to start coming to church. Again, my husband was Methodist, but he was very upset that the Methodist church wouldn't help us in our time and needs. And Mike's like, you know what? Forget it. I'm gonna join the Catholic Church. They were there. They helped us. So that's what he ended up. We ended up starting going regularly to church there.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, after Father Al left, we really didn't feel anything. It was just, you know, okay. It was just like a regular visit. We didn't think nothing of it. That night, Tyler came into our room again, and he said that Jimmy and Charlie kept talking really loudly and wouldn't let him sleep.
Oh, geez.
Yes.
That's horrifying. I mean, yeah. Through all of this, does this just make the hairs on your neck stand up?
You just don't know where to turn. You know, it's not like we could go sell our house. We're not financially set like that. Like, yeah. Okay, you know, here we're going to give up, you know, a $350,000 house. No, we got to fix something here.
Yeah.
Mike had gone to work a couple days later. And again, he's got this depressed, angry look on his face. Like you see him, you don't want to approach him type. You can just feel that. And this one guy that approached him at work sells houses on the side. And that's how we ended up buying our house. And Travis goes up to Mike. And he's like, Matt, Mike, you know, what the fuck's wrong with you? Why are you so angry? Was messing with him when he said it. And Mike's like, dude, not now. And Travis is like, dude, seriously, what's going on? And Mike's like, I haven't slept much. I'm dealing with a lot. You sold us a fucking haunted house. So get the fuck away from me is what Mike told him. And he's like, what do you mean? And Mike starts telling him about what we're dealing with at a house. He's like, hey, I've got some people that will come and we'll do it for free because they do this. They have real jobs. One's an engineer. Two of them are teachers, husband and wife. And they do this on the side. Just they're not wanting to make money. They're just interested. And Mike's like, give Julie the information. So Travis ends up messaging me with them with their contact info. So I end up messaging them and I talked to them. We kept conversing back and forth, text messaging and then Facebook instant messaging. They finally agreed to kind of take our case on. And we had a date to where we were going to do like a phone interview. And it was like a week before they could do this phone interview. I remember that. Well, at that time, I kept doing research on our house. I got the first people in the 1700s from Thomas Jefferson who signed a land grant to the first owners of our house. I mean, I had every information of Fawcett. I can tell you everything that happened on our house and our land where our house stood. I'm learning more and more about Jimmy, the Johnson family. It was one of the only murders that occurred in Kearney, which was actually called Centerville at the time. I'm learning how bad of anger this man had. Tyler was not wrong. I'm learning how Jimmy and Charlie died. I mean, I'm learning all sorts of stuff and it's just like hitting me. It was of an overload. Every day I was learning more and more stuff.
Are you talking to, besides obviously the priest and this team of ghost hunters?
I,
Are you talking to anyone else about this, really?
No. My mom. I did talk to my mom.
Yeah.
Because people are going to look at me like I'm just fucking nuts.
Well, and understandably, right? I mean, because you might have done the same thing like before all of this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the kind of crazy part about this. So yes. You just keep finding out more and more, and it's corroborating everything your son is telling you.
Yeah.
And there's no way on earth that he could know this stuff.
He's six.
Yeah, that's what always catches me. It's like when you put the kids in it like that, you couldn't tell them this story to retell it. You couldn't feed them that lie.
No.
Wow.
Well, we live in a small town, Kearney, Missouri. One of the original founders' last name is Greenfield. And the Greenfields were connected to our land. There's a Greenfield big housing addition even. But they had, their original house was where our house stood. And it was cattle. They were raising cattle, and they would sell cattle down to the stockyards in Kansas City stockyards. So again, I'm learning more and more. And this was like the late 1800s to early 1900s. Well, I learned, I went all the way from 17, I'm jumping, so please forgive me. I went from the 1700s, I had to 1900s to where we are now. I mean, it was very much an overload. I did find it fascinating, and I'm still fascinated today. I still try to find stuff. The original owner of our house was a fur trader and was married to an Indian lady, a Sioux Indian. And I found where he was buried. I found where their kids were buried, but I never found her, which I always found that odd. She ended up staying on the land, and I believe dying on the land, but Indian culture tradition, they may have buried her in a different way compared to the kids or her husband.
Yeah. Just cultural differences.
Absolutely. Now, the second owner of our land was had married another Indian lady, which I felt it was weird. There was so much Indian connection there too. When her husband died, she stayed on the land, and the new owners allowed her to live with them. Again, this is like 1830s to 1840s. Women, let alone Indian women, widows, weren't allowed to own land or anything. So the land ended up going to being sold, but they allowed her to stay there, like as a house servant. Is how she ended up staying on the land. She did not want to leave it. Because I read different stories and books in the Clay County Register genealogy department that had really cool, interesting stories that she had written, like journals entries. So I was able to get different facets of people's life. And I learned a whole lot about our town. I will say that I didn't realize Kearney was actually called Centerville back then. It had been renamed after the Civil War.
Yeah.
But after she passed, I don't know, the second Indian lady passed, don't know where she ended up buried either. So these two women, they're MIA. They're totally MIA. The new owners of the land ended up buying more cattle, and they were buying land. It just kept growing. And these were the Greenfields. This was the Greenfield family. And they ended up opening up the first bank in Kearney. I mean, they were buyers. They were trying to make money. And they were very successful at it as well. Well, they had Ruth Greenfield was the original lady that lived on our land. And it was a, you know, old farmstead type house, plantation house at the time. And I started doing some research on her and through Ancestry. And I ended up finding her nephew. And I contacted him and kind of told him a little bit what was going on in our house. Well, he ends up sending me all sorts of pictures of her and what our house looked like. Well, it's not our house by any means. It's just where our house stood, the land back then. And he sends me pictures of the cattle and how it all interplayed. There was a horse track by our house. We had no idea. I mean, just again, I'm learning more and more stuff, and it's history, so it intrigues me as well. Well, I remember I printed out a picture of Ruth Greenfield and I put it on our kitchen island. Then I had a picture of my grandmother, my great grandmother, and then just an old lady that I printed off the internet. And I left it on the kitchen island and I was cooking dinner, and Ty Ty comes in and he's full of energy. And he runs in the kitchen real fast, and we have hardwood floors, so he slid through. And he crawls up on that kitchen island. He looks at the pictures, and he looks at me. He said, "Mommy, why do you have the picture of the old lady?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "This old lady." And he picks up the picture of Ruth Greenfield, Greensfield. And I was like, "What do you?" And this lady had very thin lips, very curly, curly, curly hair. And she had like a black dress, and it had like a doily on top, like a lace, if you can kind of visualize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he shows me the picture, and she's like standing in the field, and you could see the cows and everything behind her. And I was like, "Do you know her, Ty Ty?" He's like, "Yeah. She comes and spies on Charlie and Jimmy and I every night, every time we play." And I was like,
"Man."
I was like, "Is she mean to you?" He goes, "No, she's just annoying." And I was like, "Why do you say she's annoying?" He goes, "Because every time we start playing, she starts yelling at them," is what he tells me. And I said, "Well," and you know, again, he's six. And I was like, "Well, maybe she's just playing with them, Tyler." He goes, "No, she does not like them." And I said, "Well, how about the other people?" He's like, "I don't know who they are." He goes, "All I know is this annoying lady." And then he runs off. Okay.
So did you set those up to try to get him to notice?
Yeah.
Okay. And it worked.
Yeah. Wow. How would he have picked?
Yeah, exactly. So he's seeing these.
Yes.
He's seeing this as well as hearing it.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
so
wow.
Now we've got Jimmy and Charlie, and now we have a little old lady in my house.
And were they unrelated?
She didn't know.
Jimmy and Charlie were brothers, right?
Yes.
But
so we got Jimmy and Charlie there, and now we have Ruth Greenfield.
Not related to Jimmy and Charlie.
No. No.
Oh, wow.
Jimmy and Charlie were there and the land first.
Uh-huh.
Ruth Greenfield came after. Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, I had to have a couple drinks that night. Let's just say that.
It's like a ghost party.
Pretty much. At my expense. I'm hosting it too. Yeah. 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 So I'm trying to figure out, you know, what is going on? What do I do? You know, where do we go from here? So I really was just trying to find out as much about Ruth Greenfield as I can. And she was a very prominent lady in Kearney. Their family is. Like I said, there's a housing division that's named after them. The bank, they started the first bank here in Kearney. I mean, it was so many avenues of this. Of like, this was taking us. Well, then the nephew of Ruth Greenfield sends me, it was a receipt from the stockyard of sale of, you know, the cows from the Kansas City stockyards. So and again, my husband and I were communicating, and I'm telling him everything I'm finding. Well, then he starts telling me, come to find out, his uncle was a big trader in the stockyards and ended up knowing, did business with the Greenfields. So now we're in a whole different avenue here. I mean, like I said, this just kept evolving. Like, how is this even possible? I cannot remember my husband's, I think they called him Okie, because he was originally from Oklahoma.
This is your husband's uncle.
Great-great-uncle.
Great-great-uncle, okay.
That had moved from Oklahoma to here, to the Missouri area. And was doing stockyards. That's why he was making his money, was through the stockyards. And he couldn't read or write or anything, so he started. So then we're taking, again, we're all going on a whole different direction here. How is the Greenfields are now, my husband's family is somehow connected to them. So then we start doing research on my husband's family. And sure enough, they did do stockyard trading with the Greenfields. And more than likely, he was probably in Kearney and could have come to our land. It was just weird. Like I said, this just encompassed so much. So the following week, I remember I had the interview with the psychic mediums, and I had it at work. I went into our conference room and I did not tell them everything. I only talked to them. I only gave them cliff notes. I did not give them details of everything I had found, because I really wasn't believing they were legit. I just didn't believe. I mean, it's hard when you're going through it, because you don't believe you're going through it either, but you know you're going through it.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling.
And you're almost, so you're a little skeptical of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can tell the story, but did that eventually change?
Oh yeah, absolutely it did. So we had it set for the ghost hunters to come like the following weekend. And I remember I made sure the kids were gone. They went to grandma's. And then they were coming on a Saturday night. They did not need us in the house. So I was going out with some of my wrestling moms, birthday party. My husband had to work on Sunday morning, but they said, that's fine. He can stay in the bedroom. We'll take care of everything else as long as you let us in. Like, okay. So we had everything set. They decide to come, I think a little earlier than expected, which worked out. They came in the house and I remember when they came over the house, there's three of them. It was a husband and wife, and then their friend who was the engineer. The husband and wife were teachers in a nearby city. They seemed very nice people. And they actually did not want me to tell them everything. So when they came to our house, I remember the door opened, and I'll never forget, the look on their face was the same look that Father Al gave us. They looked around like, holy shit. It was one of those looks. And I remember the engineer guy looked at the lady, and he's like, do you feel it? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, do you see it? And she's like, absolutely. And oh, Mike and I are
creepy.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's creepy.
We see nothing. And this is daylight. This is like 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So we do a tour around our whole entire house. We have a 4-bedroom house. We have a fairly good sized backyard. We took them the backyard. I mean, we showed them everything. And the husband teacher, he was more the investigator and taking notes. The wife and the engineer were the mediums and feeding off each other. And there, every room we're going to, oh, did you see that? Oh, did you feel that? Oh my gosh. Yes, I feel that. Oh my God. My arms, you know, here are my arms. I mean, they're just every room we went into.
It's lighting up. Yeah. They're just lighting up.
Absolutely.
So they're spiritually sensitive. A medium's spiritually sensitive. And that's maybe a lot like your son was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or is.
When it came time to go in our bedroom, they didn't want to go in our bedroom. And Mike and I are like, we're like, this is, you know, where we sleep. And like, oh yeah, we're good. Really? We don't need to go in there. Huh. And you could tell, like, scared. They did not want to go in there at all. So what they ended up doing was they set all their equipment. They had multiple screens, and they had the, you know, those light, the, not like the clap on lights, but the sensor to where you walk by, then the light would turn on. So they had those set up in the garage, my son's room downstairs, Tyler's room, of course, my daughter's room, and the hallway and the kitchen. And I was going out. My husband went out for dinner. And then when he got home, he went into the bedroom and just closed the door. And by this time, it was like, I don't know, about 9 o'clock. Because he Mike gets up super early, 4:30-ish. I was gone. They were doing their stuff. I text them on my way home, which was around midnight. Said, I'm on my way home. Is it okay? And they're like, yeah, come on home. So when I got there, they had all their screens going, and they told me how they pretty well think they know what's going on. Would I mind watching the screens while they go down into the garage? I'm like, okay, sure. So I'm watching the screens, and they told me to text them if I saw any lights flickering or anything abnormal on the screens. They go down to the garage, and by this time, it's probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. When they go down to the garage, I'm watching the screens. I look up and I see a light flickering in my hallway upstairs. So I text them. They answer back, okay, thank you. Keep us updated if it happens again. Okay.
Are these regular cameras, or are they like that? I see they have infrared sometimes.
These are like it's infrared, but these also are like, just, they remind me of stuff you find like at the Dollar Tree or dollar store, to where it's just like a little light sensor. Go, you walk by, the light goes on.
Okay. Okay. I understand. Like motion detectors?
Thank you. I could think of the word. Yes.
Okay. So they set up motion detectors, and then you have a screen. What's on the screen?
Each bedroom, the hallway. The only thing that was not on there was the garage, and they were there.
Okay.
Garage. So I text him probably 6-7 times. Hey, hallway light, what's going on? They told me they would probably be down in the base in the garage for at least a couple hours. They were up within 30 minutes. So they come up, and I'm like, I made a joke, because to me, I'm still not buying into everything. And I just made a joke. I'm like, oh, did you find the ghost? And they're like, they look at each other like, oh shit, do we say anything? And they're like, yeah. Do you want us to tell you now? And I'm like, yeah, tell me what's going on. And they tell me, and they're looking at each other. They're just constantly like scared to talk. They don't want to tell me anything. And they're like, well, let us put our stuff away. So by this time, it's probably close to 2-ish. They finish packing their stuff, and I'm still sitting there like, okay, why can't they just talk to me and tell me what's going on?
They're about to tell you just how weird this is.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm guessing. What comes next?
Yes.
Is going to be like, we want to leave right after we tell you this.
Yes, absolutely. So they tell me how they need to talk to me, but they need to talk to me in the middle of the street outside, not on the property. So I'm like, okay. So they're like, and I remember I'd been out. I had my McDonald's. I was still eating my McDonald's. I will never forget. I had a cheeseburger and French fries. So I left my food, went into all four of us, them three and then myself, we walk into the middle of the street. And by this time, it's 2:30 in the morning, 2:37. I actually remember that. Leaving the living room, going in the middle of the street. And it's dark, by all means, 2:30 in the morning. And they're like, we cannot tell you in the house what's going on. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, there's multiple facets going on in your house. You have multiple entities.
Thank you for listening to part one of this episode. This is going to be a two-part series. The next one will be released next week. So make sure that you like, subscribe, that you have your notifications on. And if you like this story and you want more like this, give us a rate. Give us 5 stars, give us a comment, give us a thumbs up. Whatever it is you do, we appreciate it. Thank you.